Good morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and it's a pleasure to welcome all my listeners today. It's a beautiful day. I hope it's beautiful where you are. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, the flowers are blooming. What more could we ask for? Mother Earth is good, Father Sun is good, and it's good to be alive. So I have a wonderful guest with me today. His name is Ed McGaw, and better known as Eagle Man. And he's an Oglala Sioux with an outstanding record. He is an outstanding human being by any estimate. He's equally recognized and respected by both the red man and the white man. He was a highly decorated Marine Corps pilot in Vietnam, and he flew 110 combat missions and made our country proud. He earned a bachelor's degree at St. John's University and a law degree at the University of South Dakota. And he also studied with two holy men, Chief Eagle Feather and Chief Fool's Crow. He has written 9 books now about Native American spirituality and ways, and has participated in many sun dances. So it is an honor to welcome you to the show, Eagle Man.
Well, thank you.
And you are you're in South Dakota, right? On the Pine Ridge Reservation?
Yeah. I just came off Crazy Horse Mountain in Black Hills. I live in Hill City. It's a small town. I have a trout stream out in back of my house, and a trout pond with trout in it. And okay. I've been working at Crazy Horse Mountain for about 11 years. I sell my books there. Mm-hmm. Every summer. In the wintertime, I go to Minneapolis and I play pickleball. It's the fastest growing sport in the nation for older people. I've won 2 gold medals last year and the year before. So I play about 6 to 7 days a week, and sometimes twice a day, a couple hours at a time, sometimes 2.5 hours at a time. It really keeps you in shape. I'm 77 years old and I'm still quick as a cat.
Wow. I never even heard of that sport. What's it called? Pickleball?
Yeah, www.pickleball.com. It should be wiffle ball. And I don't know how it names pickle, but anyhow, P-I-C-K-L-E, pickleball.com. Go up sometime and you'll see they have an actual movie of people playing.
Oh.
And it's fastest growing sport. There's actually an addiction amongst older people. They're just there's one resort in Florida in Orlando that has 110 courts.
Oh, my Lord. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I'm glad there's something new for older people to do. Gosh, that's great.
My daughter is a dietitian. She got a master's degree in dietetics, and she says that that pickleball is keeping you from having diabetes. Meaning me, of course. Yeah.
Yes, right. So it's a good thing. All right.
Yep.
Well, and you still find time to write because you have another new book coming out, don't you? Or that just came out?
Well, Spirituality for America just came out, and that's about planetary heating and about us Indians, how we prevented that. And earth-saving wisdom from the indigenous. And The dominant world has got to realize that the American Indian knew what they were doing, and overpopulation is the reason why planetary heating is happening. And we've got to now start becoming like China and cut down on our population, whether you like it or not. If you don't, terrible, horrible catastrophe is right around the corner.
Yes, well, I think overpopulation is part of the problem. I don't think it's the whole problem. I think deforestation is a huge part of the problem because
what is part of the problem?
Deforestation. We have cut down most of the trees in the all over the world.
Oh, deforestation. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. That's yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because
that's a very big danger.
Yes, every civilization.
But see, why do we cut it down? Why do we cut them down?
Huh? Greed for money.
No,
it's a big
well,
business.
It's because overpopulation, the need for wood products, overpopulation. If you have billions, we're probably about 9 billion. It all goes back to too many people, and then they're demanding, and they have to have fuel, and they have to have housing, shelter, and too many of them. And the Christian Bible and the Quran says absolutely, in fact, the opposite. They say multiply and subdue the earth.
Well, yes, we know that doesn't work. And but the problem with the deforestation, yes, a lot of it has to do with overpopulation, but it's also just pure greed.
We have so many
ways today that we could build houses, and we don't need to cut down trees. We have so many ways that we could make paper. If they would legalize growing hemp would solve a lot of these problems, because you can make paper and fabric and wood. You know, you can make everything from hemp. So there's lots of.
Yeah. Why is the restriction on hemp? Why do they try to keep that down?
Because it's the non-marijuana producing plant, but because marijuana is also a hemp plant, they won't allow it to be grown in the United States.
And
the early colonies, the 13 colonies, it was required that every farm grow 10 acres of hemp, because hemp was used to make ropes and all kinds of things. But it's outlawed in the United States.
Well, that's a very good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
So,
I wish I would have known that. I'd put that in one of my books.
Yeah, well, next book.
Okay, next book I'll put it in there.
Well, you know, you've written so many wonderful books, and I haven't had a chance to read every one of them. I was interested in the one that's decoding nature. What is the name of it? Decoding the creators.
How we refer to the creator? Wakantaka, Great Mystery?
Decoding.
We think of creator as three big entities. Creator is all truth. And I mean unadulterated truth, pure, real, no exaggeration, truth. And then the creator is also all knowledge. It's everything. You take a computer. Computer is not invented by man, it's discovered. Creator has already allowed it to be. The electrons doing their mystery. Creator's all knowledge, all truth, and also creator is a mystery. And that is as far as we go. We don't try to go any further than that. We will not proselytize. We're like the Jewish people, and I thank the Jewish people for not having Jewish missionaries on our reservation and banning our religion and banning our ceremonies. Are making insane asylums like Canton, South Dakota. They had an insane asylum at Canton, and primarily for our Indian medicine men and women. And there's 121 graves there where they were actually murdered because they were not Christian. And that was a terrible, horrible effect. That's in my books. I'm an Indian author that puts boarding school and Canton insane asylum in my books. Other Indian authors don't have the guts to do it. Of course, they're linked up with some university, and they do not want to taint or tarnish their opportunity to win a chair or a seat in the university. Not this guy. And I've got a law degree. I suppose you could call me an academic Indian, but I'm really not one as far as in my head. I am traditional Indian, and I'm truthful. I put those what happened into my book so that people will understand why Indians have had such a tough time. And then the boarding schools, the pedophilia in the boarding schools, the boarding school never really prepared our Indian people. They were too much focused on religion and Jesus, 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 and never prepared us math, chemistry, English, et cetera, et cetera.
Oh, no, really?
They did tremendous damage to us.
Oh,
so anyhow,
I believe
getting
it.
Back to the principles of Ultimate, we don't think Creator is harsh. Well, nature is harsh, but Creator is very benevolent, and this proved in many, many ways. So
yes.
We do not fear our Ultimate, and we also do not have Satan, so we don't have any devils. That, to us, is pure superstition, and since nature is our Bible, we don't have a man-written book, and we definitely don't want to have one, because Creator is such a mystery. But nature, looking and observing at nature, we see that there is no superstition in nature, none, zero. Therefore, we can't believe in a devil or Satan and on goblins and all this and that.
Right. Well, you know, nature is a wonderful teacher. The sun shines upon the good and the bad. The rain falls on the good and the bad. And so it teaches me that Mother Earth and nature loves all her children. And I know you studied with Fool's Crow, Chief Fool's Crow.
Yeah.
What was the most important thing you learned from him?
Well, determination. Chief Fool's Crow was very, very focused, very, very gifted. He had the ability to call in the spirits from the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
So first, let us define a spirit. A spirit, what I've observed, and I've been in many spirit calling ceremonies, a spirit is simply a former human being that was intensely moral, ethical, and very, very truthful, and very, very focused. Obviously not greedy, all the things that you would want in a human being to be your father or mother.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, these spirits lived a life here. This is a big testing ground here where we're at now to prepare ourselves for entry into that spirit world that lies beyond us. One thing that we pretty well will insist on, we do insist that there is a spirit world because of our ceremonies. Anyway, a spirit will come into your ceremony, and a medicine person will hone a particular spirit, or several, but usually one particular one. And Fool's Crow had Big Road for his guiding spirit that would help him do ceremony and come in and find things for Fool's Crow and Bill Eaglefeather had Gray Weasel. Anyway, Fool's Crow and Big Road were actually a combination in ceremony. And Fool's Crow had the power to, and the communicative power, to do a Uwipi ceremony, and Big Road would come in and forecast what life. One of the Sundancers, I was in Sundance with, his daughter drowned in Littlemore River. He wanted her body to be found so they have a funeral, which is a normal thing to want. He said,
yes.
Great Spirit, if my daughter is found, I'll dance the Sundance. And Fool's Crow held a Uwipi ceremony. Big Road came in, listened, and then Big Road left, came back about 10 minutes later, said, by a metal gate, by the bend of a river, there'll be a cottonwood tree standing tall. Its roots, underneath its roots that reach to the water, there will be your daughter. And sure enough, they went there and found her, and the guy was in Sundance. So Fool's Crow did all this, and then went on to see that the Sundance would come alive and bring, and he was brave. The Sundance was banned because of the missionaries lobbying in Congress, and yet Fool's Crow was brave enough to go ahead, and so was Bill Eaglefeather. He pierced Bill in his Sundance, and they held the first Sundance back on the reservation back in 1950. I was just a young boy then, but I had a car. You could be 14 years old. and have a car way back then. And we didn't have, even have driver's license. And so then I drove down because my grandmother told me to. Of course, I was a powwow dancer. And Fool's Crow would allow a powwow to happen in the daytime. And then early in the morning, they would do Sundance. In the afternoon and the evening, we would powwow dance. And that was just to draw a crowd to get people interested in Sundance. There were so many Christian Indians back in those days, and they were controlled by the missionaries. And I was fortunate to see that first Sundance. So I would say Fool's Crow was determined. He was very brave. He was very gifted. The spirits were with him. And then before I went to Vietnam, he held a weepy for me, and they said, "You'll see the enemy 100 times, and the bullets will bounce from your plane." And exactly, I flew 110 missions. And I had some real harrowing experiences. But the bullet, one SAM missile went after me, and it went right by me but didn't explode. Another one did explode at another time, and then it knocked out my engine, but it did not, no mark was on my plane except for my intake was scorched. And so that you will see the enemy 100 times and the bullets will bounce from your plane. So when I came back, Fool's Crow had a Thanksgiving eweepy in which he thanked Creator that all that was said in that earlier eweepy spirit ceremony happened. So Fool's Crow was just, it was like being with a really extreme holy person.
Yes.
And I was very fortunate. And Bill Eaglefeather was the same way.
Well, I read that he just had a profound love and concern for all races. And That's.
Yeah, he said, "These ways are not for us alone. They are for everyone."
Mm-hmm.
And there's some Indians that, most Indians are now backing off that. But 10, 15 years ago, we had some of these medicine people that, our way is for us only, and it's sacred. We can't share with nobody. And don't let the whites know this. And I caught a little flack from that in my books, but I just turned right around and told them, I said, "Look, if they overpopulate, if they keep on being anti-environmental, we perish right along with them. You better learn to listen. And you don't have the power that Fool's Crow has. And when you get to spirit world, Fool's Crow will chastise you for eternity." And I see most all these medicine men now have changed their tune. They are allowing non-Indian people to come and view ceremony. And Crow Dog has 450 dancers at his average at his annual Sundance. He's a Sichangu medicine person, and he's paid his dues. He's been in jail and everything else. Nobody criticizes Crow Dog. I mean, they better watch how they criticize him, because he is simply his own man, and he has non-Indian participants in his Sundance.
Really?
And he says, I do as my vision tells me.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, there's very, I don't know of anybody, you got to have a lot of guts to criticize Crow Dog, because Crow Dog is, well, AIM is behind Crow Dog 100%. And I'm really glad Crow Dog does that. So.
Yes, I'm glad too.
Yeah. Indians are, their medicine men are starting to open up. And then in Canada, the Cree and the Canadian Indians are doing Sundance. And there's a big, big revival of Indians going back to their traditionalism. And thank God. That was what I was fighting for all the time that I was in the 6 Sundances in a row back when we had only 1 Sundance. Now we have 50-some on the Rosebud and the Pine Ridge Reservation every year.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this because Milo Yellowhair always comes up to see me at my table in August, and he said, "Well, we gave away 54 buffalo this year from our buffalo herds, and that means there's 54 medicine men doing Sundance." And
wow.
So that's 54. Wow, it's a huge number. And then some will only have 6 or 8 dancers, some will have 100, and 150, and then, of course, Crow Dog's 450. So that means hundreds and hundreds of, or almost thousands, of young men are out there dancing, and a lot of them are, they'll take a 4-year vow that they won't touch alcohol, they won't touch drugs, and we have a high, high success ratio. So how anybody can put that down, you got to be sick in the mind, and
yes,
you will pay for it when you reach the spirit world.
Well, I'm so glad to hear it's coming back
yep.
so strong.
Yeah, strong,
and everything.
Strong.
Wonderful. You have a book about the Rainbow Tribe also. And of course, this is something that Sun Bear used to talk about. Did you know Sun Bear?
Did I what now?
Did you know
About Sundance?
Sun Bear?
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, I know him. He's a nice guy. He's dead, of course. And
Yes.
he was gifted. He was gifted spiritually.
Yes, he
He
was.
would do a sweat lodge, and spirits would come in to his sweat lodge, and there was all kinds of indications of their presence inside the lodge. They are mine also. I don't do many sweat lodges, but I just did one in England about 2 months ago, and the lodge turned it's pitch black in a sweat lodge,
Right.
and the lodge turned lavender. And then
Oh.
there was little colored lights down in the pit where the rocks are at, where you pour your water, and the English people saw that, and they were amazed, and they knew that the spirits were definitely with us. And then when I do, I have to be truthful about this. If I deny it, then they'll quit doing it. They'll quit. They won't honor me with their presence. Anyway, so I have to be truthful. I don't care anybody in the radio audience here that you can't believe what I'm saying. Then that's your own problem. And I'm not bragging. I'm telling the truth. What happened? Anyway, so. Usually, always, when I do sweat lodge, I'd use blackout colors, red, east, yellow, south, black, west, white, north. I don't really care which way the sweat lodge faces. I'm not into that. If there's a stream or lake, I've even done it by the ocean, I'll usually put the entrance way facing the ocean or the stream or the little lake, pond, whatever, so that you can come straight out and go on into the water if you want to. And I'm not concerned about which direction, so I don't get hung up. And I don't get hung up on any of the small stuff. And my main focus is that you go in and you pray. Your prayer, that is what's important, and what's in your heart. That is the focus. Anyway, so I do the first four endurances. First endurance is you greet the spirits, and the spirits are all around. They're nothing but former human beings, but now they're in spirit form. And then two is you. It's a preparation. You're going to do your prayer, the third endurance, so you think seriously about what you're going to say. It's a very important part of your time. Maybe the only sweat lodge person does in their whole lifetime. So I usually sing a song, special song, or somebody is really gifted with a song. They sing it, and then that gives a relaxation focus for them to be thinking seriously about their prayer. Then we go to the third nurse, and in between, every time you raise the flap and let a lot of air in. And I'm not a burner. I don't burn people. I don't make super hots. When I sweat, I quit pouring water, and I raise the flap and I let all the claustrophobics sit right behind me, and they can raise that flap anytime they want to. And first starting out, the flap is coming up and coming up, and the light from the fire is coming in. I don't care. It's relaxing them. And about 90-some% of those claustrophobics will never leave because it calms them. Anyway, they have just as much right to be in ceremony as you do. So then I go to third endurance, and then the person sitting next to me, I usually have somebody experienced, and they say their prayer, and then they tap the person next to them. And it's a lot of people want to seek a name. They say, "Eagle Man, I seek a name," after their prayer is over with. And so then that is the only time I am psychedelic, or whatever you want to call it. It comes to me, the spirits help me. I'll see a revolving peace pipe. It's pitch black, but yet imagery comes, and a buffalo, whatever. And I ask them, "What are you close to in the spirit world, or what creator's made, rather?" They'll say lake, stream, fire, 101 things, crow, eagle. And one woman, I named her Red Pipe Woman. And when she came out of the lodge, she walked over to her purse, picked out her business card, and walked over to me and gave it to me and said, "Red Pipe Woman." So obviously I'm being helped by the spirits. And then, so then we go to the fourth endurance, and then that's usually an ending. I mean, it's always an ending. And then, we say four. There's four parts of that. and it's all over with. But the main focus is the third, endurance. And but it always happens so far that spirits come in and help me with my naming. And like I'll say, Red Pipe Woman would be Lu Ta Chanupa Win. And we say Win instead of Wiyan, because in naming you shorten everything up. And they'd say that, and then I do accept your name, and yes. Then I teach them how to, and I draw it for them the next day if we're in a little, if we have a workshop, then I draw it for them, and then I write it in Lakota. And they love it. People love to get a name. So that's as far as I go, though. I don't do Uwipi, but and I don't do Sundance anymore. I'm too old. But I do still do sweat lodges every once in a while. I've got a sweat lodge behind my place here in Hill City down by the stream, and it's real pretty. And so I still do a few, but not as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm glad to hear you're still doing that. And that's what you call the Uwipi, right?
Uwipi? Yeah, Uwipi, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Uwipi, yes. Okay,
yeah,
great. All right, well, I'm glad that you're still doing the sweat lodges and everything. And I wanted to know more about, of course, Black Elk Speaks is a wonderful book, and his vision affected and has been guiding the Sioux people for a long time. Would you share a little bit about his vision with our audience?
You see, let me talk about Black Elk Speaks a little bit.
Yes.
Okay. Black Elk Speaks was a book written by John Neihardt during Black Elk telling him about his vision. Black Elk had a powerful, powerful vision, 1874 roughly, and 2 years before the Battle of the Bighorn. And it was in the very same area, because the Indians followed the buffalo usually in the Bighorn area. So he went up in the spirit world, picked up by two spirit men, and there upon a great plain were horses and animals of all colors, and red, white, black, and yellow stood out strongly. And these two spirit men led him to a great big lodge, like a teepee, and therein was six powerful spirits, big spirits, and that was the Four Directions and Mother Earth and Father Sky. The Four Directions are the Black West, Wio Piata, Wio the sun, Piata goes down, makes black, makes darkness. Then Wayajata, Wazia, the white north, the white giant from the north. And then Wio Hiapa, Hiapa. We owe the sun, Hiapa, it comes across. And every day you receive new knowledge. Right now, you people listening in this radio show, you're receiving new knowledge. Every day you want to strive for knowledge. Because remember, ultimate is all knowledge. The more knowledge you put into your memory bank, which Creator gave you, the more you become like Creator. If you're a six-pipe Joe or a soap opera Sarah, you're not putting any knowledge in at all, and when you get in the spirit world, you'll be a blank disc, and you won't progress very far. Then the fourth entity to speak to him was a Tokaga. It makes grow. The south power, the sun gets up higher and higher and higher in the springtime towards summer, and then things grow. Now, all these things I'm telling you are real. They're not imaginary. They're not superstition. They're not some prophet that thinks the world is flat and treats his women terribly. No, none of that stuff. We owe Piata, the sun goes down. It definitely is. You don't want to be afraid of the dark. It's only the earth's shadow. So they all spoke to him in turn, and then Father Sky spoke, and he said, all things of the air are going to be here with you to help the Earth Mother at a time of great need, and that is right now. The things of the air are the radio communicative waves that we have, the television waves, the things that see and help project are your computer. You're a much more intelligent person than people had the opportunity 50, 100, 200, 400, 500,000 years ago. You have readily in front of you all kinds of knowledge, and you want to use it. Those all come from things from the air. And then, lastly, the Earth Mother spoke. And I'm going to jump back to the first entity to speak to Black Elk was West Power, Weopiata. And Weopiata gave him a bow. He says, with this you will be able to make live and able to destroy. He gave him a cup of water. And then the West Power turned to a horse, and he was very sickly and gaunt. The Black Elk went north to the North Power, Wazia, and Wazia gave him a healing herb, which they used upon the West Power, and lo, it healed the horse, and it became healthy again. And Wazia was stood for endurance, strength, cleanliness, all the things back in those days when you winter over, you have to be intelligent. You have to work to put enough meat away to live through the long winter. You have to be clean. You have to sweat lodge so that when you're in a teepee with other people, you're all clean so you smell decent. You have to be very highly respectful of the other person's space. And then, of course, cleanliness is the white snows melt and they wash the earth clean every springtime. And endurance is a very important factor coming out of the North Power. Then East Power spoke, Weohiapata, and East Power was knowledge. East Power, every day the sun goes across. You must look, observe nature, observe that the animals always take care of the young. You can't be a deadbeat dad, or otherwise you'll have a horrible time in the spirit world beyond. You must take care of your offspring, as the animal world shows you that. And knowledge. Get as much knowledge as you possibly can into your mind. You notice that knowledgeable people are not prejudiced. Very few of them are. And then the Westboro Baptist Church, they're ignorant. They're stupid because they have bigotry, and they picket veterans and funerals, and they do such stupid, ignorant things, and they're so carried away with their zealotry, you never want to get in that boat. Then Atokaga spoke and then said things of the to make grow, you must provide, you must have to put away things, you have to be industrious, you cannot just be lazy and do nothing. Those are very important teachers that we all have to follow if we want to have a healthy life here. And then, of course, I already told you about Sky Power, Father Sky, Makbia Ate, Father Sky. And then, of course, the Earth Mother spoke, and she didn't really speak much. She just said, come with me, I'll show you. And she took them. And he looked down upon below, was three rivers came together, and the rivers were polluted and dirty, and their fish were floating up the surface, and the animals were dying, birds were falling from the sky, and there was a blue man of corruption and greed down there stirring the waters and making them more putrid and polluted. Smoke was coming off the waters, and that is where we're at right now, the blue man of corruption and greed, the military-industrial complex. The Yes. Military-industrial complex wants to keep wars longer. They want to they don't care how many of the other person's sons and daughters get killed, as long as they can make their money. And that's what owns the United States right now. And Eisenhower was one of the best presidents we ever had. And he gave a speech about how the MIC is, you don't let it rule you. Otherwise, your country is going to be bankrupt. And he made the interstate highway system and shelved the MIC, and it was the best gift that you could ever be given to the world of commerce, is that interstate highway system. But then the Republican Party never recognizes him because the MIC has taken control of the Republican Party and a part of our Democratic Party, too. So then she showed that this blue man was hurting and killing Mother Earth, so she said, come, let's kill it. And they went, dove down, and they tried to kill it, and they couldn't do it. And Black Elk was left up above. He was on a bay horse. And they said, come, Black Elk, help us. His bow turned into a spear, the one that was given to me by West Power. And it turned to a spear, and his horse reared up and charged down, and he killed the blue man. So what does all that mean? It means that knowledge, Black Elk had the knowledge of the four directions, knowledge of Father Sky, knowledge of Mother Earth, and that gave him the power for that bow to turn to a spear to kill the blue man. And what I'm saying is that the world has to know, learn from the people that follow nature, the Druids and the Celtics. Those are those are all non-Indian people. They followed nature. That was their guide. And they lived lives far better than any of us live. And so did the Indians. No jails, no poorhouses, no pollution, no planetary heating, no overpopulation, all that. And so that is real. We have to, Black Elk's vision is a powerful guide. All my books have it. Every one of my books have Black Elk's vision within. I think it's that powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So that,
well, it is powerful.
Yeah.
When I first read about it in your book, I had not read Black Elk Speaks at that time, and I was amazed at the story of the blue man, because I'm very concerned about the environment, and I believe that we actually have an oxygen crisis coming, because the two places we get oxygen are from trees and from the ocean, the algae in the oceans, and the ocean has 415 dead spots where nothing grows now, and the trees have been decimated all over the world. And to me, the blue man is what happens when people don't have enough oxygen. Their skin turns blue, their tissues, their fingernails. Years ago, I learned to fly, to pilot a plane, and I was told, this is a long time ago, but I was told to watch my fingernails, because if they started turning blue, I wasn't getting enough oxygen. You know, I was flying a small private plane, and I'm like, wow. So to me, the blue man is on us. I mean, that's looming in the future, where oxygen is not going to be enough with the population we have now. Like you said, the overpopulation, and it's just not people that breathe oxygen. It's all the animals and insects and every other living being that breathes oxygen, that needs oxygen. So I'm very concerned about this, and I think he warned us about it with that vision. It was, you know, there's so many levels of teaching in a vision, and I think this is another one that hasn't been looked at, perhaps.
Yeah. My book has my Mother of Spirituality, Creator's Code. Some of them are not on Amazon, but, of course, HarperCollins makes sure that Rainbow Tribe, Nature's Way, Mother of Spirituality is on Amazon. And so there, you readers, you can get a real good vision of Black Elk's vision out of those books. And then our last one here is Spirituality for America. That is on Amazon. And so you can also go to, and that's my latest book. So all of them have Black Elk's vision on it, and that way you can, and it's much more detailed than what I can give on a radio show. So I suggest you go up there, and I really don't make that much money off them, so I'm not trying to be, you know, sell, make a bunch of damn money. I don't charge any, what do you call it, okay, I got a mental block right now, but what do you call it when college professors go out and speak something? Honorarium. And the Indian academics will always charge you an honorarium. Divine Deloria was hell for that. He charged a great big honorarium. And they had him speak all over. I do not charge honorarium. So I just want to let you know that I'm not a materialistic sort. And I could very easily have never written my books, gone on to become a Marine Corps colonel, general. Could be a nice, good, crooked lawyer. I got a law degree. I could have become an airline pilot. All those kinds of things. And I chose not to take that road. And she said I chose to write these books to help wake up the world, because I really felt that Black Elk's vision was so important. Well, Joseph Campbell was much more famous than I am. And he went around the world and he studied mythology. And really, it's not mythology, but that's why he had to use that term. Mm-hmm. And so he was interviewed by Bill Moyers, a very famous interviewer. And he said, Mr. Campbell, you speak of spiritual imagery. What is the best example that you know of that reveals this. And Campbell didn't even blink an eye. I was on DVD and I saw that. He said, without question, Black Elk speaks. That is the best example of spiritual imagery. So with that, that's pretty high credentials to be recommend a book or any one of my books that tell you. It's a little bit complicated when it gets into the ascent. So in my books, I give you explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you radio people out there, go down to the bookstore and pick up any one of my books, MCGAA, and or Amazon. Get on Amazon, and you're going to get woke up real well.
Yeah, they're wonderful books. I've enjoyed every one that I've read. Tell me more about the Rainbow Tribe, because this
they're people that are non-Indian, and they are intelligent enough to realize that the natural base people have the answer. And so they naturally want to find out more about that to enhance their life and prepare themselves for the spirit world that lies beyond. Now, a lot of these non-Indian people now are very, very close to, at least out my way, I know a lady coming over from Scotland. She's going to a Sundance, and but a lot of these people who have gotten close to the medicine men in South Dakota, and they are now going to Sundances. They're going to sweat lodges. Some of them are in England. Tokala, this one guy, I can't think of his name right now, but there's people in England that are doing sweat lodges all over now. And nobody owns a sweat lodge because the Celts had it, the Laplanders had it, people from all over the world. And the sweat lodge is simply a ceremony which you go in and beseech to your higher power. So now there's so many people going the natural way, and that's what the Rainbow Tribe is.
Mm-hmm.
And they are the people that are looking at nature instead of organized religion.
Mm-hmm.
And participating.
Yes, that was something that, Sun Bear started that back in the 70s, I think, with his Bear Tribe Medicine Society that anyone could join, no matter your nationality or what part of the world you lived in, you could be a member. And because he believed that there's a prophecy that says the Rainbow Tribe will save the world, that they will be able
The Rainbow Tribe will be far more powerful than any Indian tribe because there are just more of them.
Yes.
And I'm waiting for is for a good, solid, Sun Bear-type white man, European or whoever, or maybe a mixed blood, to rise up. I'm too damn old to do it myself. But somebody is hopefully, or a woman, might be a woman. It'd probably be best if it was a woman. But to rise up and bring this Rainbow Tribe into a huge focus. Like, if there was a Tea Party and that idiot Bachman started that one, there's no reason why some good, strong woman couldn't come up and gather up the Rainbow Tribe together and make it a powerful, powerful force. And what's going to make it easier for her is that nature is becoming stronger and showing example, and nature will support her. Mother Nature will support her strongly.
Yes, well, I hope that happens because we really need it. We need people to return to nature and to honoring nature.
If I was a dictator of this country, there's of course a lot of things I'd do, but one of the first things I'd do is I would dictate that the Senate, I would still allow the Congress and Senate to retain, but with all kinds of rules on them. For one thing, they would get paid very little. They wouldn't be able to, whatever money they go into Congress with, they come out with that amount, no more, so they could enrich themselves and then limit the terms. And then the Senate would be all half woman. Every state would have a woman senator. And would have a man senator, and that's going to nature, because nature nature makes it that. We have male and female. Male and female in nature are equal. And that's BS that a woman is a notch or so down. And you take a female elephant, she leads the herd to water. She leads the herd to grazing. Bulls follow. Female lion leads the hunt, engineers the hunt. Female wolf often is alpha leader. There's so many examples. Female great white shark is much larger than the male white shark. In fact, I'm going down to, in August, I go to view great white sharks with my three sons and daughter-in-law down up to someplace in Mexico. And I go down in a cage and all that.
Really?
Their heads are bigger than a huge garbage can.
Oh, yeah. That's scary. I'd be afraid to do that.
5 days we go out and we get to see them up real, real, real close. But anyhow, female is not to be left out in government, and she is right now. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have so damn many wars. Men. And we got to knock off the wars. We got to get rid of the MIC. And woman is going to take woman to do it.
Yes, and we also have to get rid of lobbyists. I think if lobbying was outlawed, that would solve a lot of the corruption problems.
Yep. Yeah, and organized religion has to be stepped on. I say tax the churches. As long as they keep meddling, tax them. And that'll get they meddle in politics. The founding fathers were very aware of the Great Inquisition, and that was back in 1700s. There was still Salem and stuff like that, and so that's why they put the clamps on organized religion. And now organized religion is starting to run free again, and they're starting to interfere in politics. They do that, I say tax them.
Yes.
And then in Western Europe, in Spain, Australia, the churches are falling down because those people. If they find out you're a Yank, you go to a petrol station, and I say, "Oh, that church over there, it looks pretty run down and locked up. Oh, why those loonies? There's nobody goes there anymore. You're a Yank, aren't you? Yeah? We don't allow those loonies in our parliament like you do, you folks do.
Really?
You get that comment over and over when you go to England, Spain, and all those places.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. They're when if you run for parliament over there, you better have some brains, or they really test you. And look at Bachmann, and look at Palin, look at Santorum, and a bunch of the other idiots. Even that guy that run for vice president, they don't have a brain in their head. All they have is one issue: abortion. And that's how they got into office.
And what is this about still trying to control women? Why do they? It's like every election they bring up abortion. And we have so many pressing problems in the world, starving people, problems with the environment, and they keep going back like a dog to its vomit to these old issues that have to do with controlling women.
Well,
it doesn't make any sense.
They use that. Don't kid yourself. A lot of them people, their daughters got pregnant. They made damn good and sure that they had amniocentesis. Especially if their daughters were out there drinking when they got pregnant and have fetal alcoholic syndrome. And they took their little rich daughters and granddaughters, and they had them aborted. They just didn't say anything about it.
Ed, we're running out of time. And so I just want to thank you for being on the show today. I have great respect for you and all that you've done with your life. You've led an exemplary life. And so I want to thank you and urge everybody out there to go to Amazon.com and buy some of his books. These are wonderful books. Thank you so much, Eagle Man.
Yeah, one last thing. Amazon.com next year, next spring. Warrior's Odyssey. That'll be my last book. And that's of all the adventures that I've had, and that is it's a great book. It's done, but right now the publisher has to do a lot of marketing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, you've got another book coming out. That's great.
Yep.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And for my listeners, thank you for listening, and may the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence.